I love the fellowship that this church has with each other. It's a God thing, and that's good. We need to nurture that, and especially in these difficult days, we need to nurture and show our love for each other. And in some places, if you have to pretend that you love them, you know, just pretend. Love should flow out of your heart. Liking somebody is different. Honestly, I teach teenagers, of course, you know that, and Mr. Adams, you won't believe what he did to me. I said, well, you got to love him, you don't have to like him. Good, because I don't like him anymore. I understand what he did was wrong. Let's go ahead and pray then, and thank the Lord for his presence. I really sense his presence today, and when he's here in a powerful way, that takes the load off my shoulders, because he's going to do it by his Spirit. Lord, so thank you. Thank you for your presence. We don't have to do invocations anymore, do we, Lord? Because that means invoking your presence, asking you to come and be a part of us. You're already here. I love that. We need to rearrange all of our thinking about your presence, Lord. You should walk in with us each day. Wherever we go, you're with us. Your presence goes before us and behind us and beside us to protect us and to lead us and to guide us and take care of the things we may mess up. God, you're amazing. So, Lord, as we worship you and we praise you, Lord, speak from the throne what you want to have spoken, because as you know, most of the time, Lord, I'm clueless. Amen. It is a fearful thing to be standing here with the mic. I'm comfortable speaking, but when I'm representing, when I know that the Lord has something to say more than me, then I just relax. I remember in high school, I would not speak up in class. I was the kid that sat, you know, and those were the days where, Tom, come to the board and work that math problem. I would sit in the back of the class with the book up going, oh, and I didn't even know God, but it was, oh God, oh God, oh God. Please don't let her call me. Please don't let him call me. And so I'm like, Lord, well, I don't know what to say. What do you want to say? You speak through me or through your word and do and accomplish that which you want to do and accomplish. Because God always has a message. If Jesus says, my sheep know my voice, he's speaking all the time. But it remains to be seen how much we will allow him to get through the stuff that blocks his voice during any given day. Cares, fears, issues in life. But he's always there. That's amazing to me. So I'm at Job 38. Job must have been an amazing guy. And I'm not going to go do a history of Job. We all know Job. He was upright and blameless. Everybody knew him. Everybody knew his integrity. And the devil's allowed to touch him but not kill him. Oh my gosh, God, help. If he still allows that, help, God. And he appears one day in heaven as God, you know, he's standing at a podium and all the angels are out there like police station early morning getting their orders. Okay, you're going to go to Haiti, and you're going to go to Venezuela, and you're going to protect the missionaries there. Speaking of missionaries, what is the latest? I'm sorry, Josh. Latest on Josh. Joacin? He has his medicine, and he's had how many doses? A few days worth? Yes. He has a month's worth of meds and all. That's a miraculous story. I'm sorry. Yeah, amen. Give God glory for that. Now, also we're praying that, you know, this portion of it, which obviously they wanted, I think, 90 days worth, we don't have that. And so we're praying for a miracle for these 4 weeks. So, and for the doctors down there at St. Luke's in Port-au-Prince. So Donnie and Cindy are, of course, there and coming back Tuesday. So there's a lot to pray for. So the angels are getting their morning assignments. Humor me for a minute, okay. Because we don't have a full understanding of heaven, for goodness sake. One day we will. One day when we're in heaven, you know, all these questions that we have for God, you know, we're going to be in heaven, and if there was something we didn't know on earth, I believe suddenly we're going to know. We're not going to be God or gods, but we're going to have the same inheritance as Jesus. It says we're joint heirs with Christ, partakers of the divine nature. That one can get a little touchy about what we're going to be like in heaven. So we don't preach that a whole lot because, you know, some people, you know how they are. They want to be divine. And I mean, I've been trying to get my wife to call me Lord. Small L. She won't do it. It's healing. But Job was allowed. No, the devil was allowed to touch Job. Well, this is a horrible story until you get to the end of the book, and we know the end of the story. Because during the troubles and the trials and the tribulations that Job had, we can relate to him. And we always say the patience of Job. But God was not pleased with this whole story. So when he's sitting in trouble, his so-called friends come and sit down. What was it, three or four of them? There was a young one, a couple old ones. And they sat for 7 days with him and said nothing. Wow, what a friend. I mean, you know, I don't have friends like that that would just come next to me and just, well, I'm not sitting in ashes for one, you know. But I guess if I was, Jack might show up for an hour or two. No, I'm just teasing. Maybe Tom. So I'm not really sure if this is a good thing or bad thing that they came and sat next to Job for a week without saying anything. And then they begin to speak, and they all unload on him basically a primitive understanding of God, which was, Job, it's all your fault. You earned it. God's retribution on you. Even Job's wife said, just curse God and die and get it over with, for goodness sake. You know, she's thinking of the insurance money and all that. Just teasing. And after all this is done, God cannot tolerate it anymore. And so we have Job 38. And if you read 38, 39, 44, 142, the rest of the chapter, it's astounding the things that God says. So I'm just going to read a little bit of 38. Jump around until time is over, which it's already 11:30. So Job 38, God speaks. In my Bible, there's a title. And it says, God speaks, what does Job know? Then the Lord speaks or answers Job out of a whirlwind. He's mad. Sit down, Job, and be quiet. I have been. Oh, yeah. Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Oh, my gosh. God is unloading here. Does God have emotions? Does he love? Does he hate? Yes, we know that from Proverbs 6. Six things the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination to him. God hates. Do you hate? Don't lie. You do. You have. You have, maybe in the past, okay. Is he passionate? Are you passionate? Is he kind, merciful? Are you kind and merciful? See, we are created in the image of God. So we have all the attributes of God. And when in the Old Testament, it wasn't just about attributes of like his visitation to man and judging and all that. Attributes are the attributes of his name. The I Am, Yahweh, and these things. And Sally could expound that much more so, but when he revealed himself, it was his character, his nature. And that's so cool, because I want to know God's nature. I want to know his character. I want to know that when he speaks to me, I want to know the depth of what he's saying. Well, that sounds arrogant, Bill. I always think of George Washington Carver. Y'all remember the story of him. Who harassed God. God, I want to know the secrets of the kingdom. Sorry, dude, it's above your pay grade. Well, I want to know something. God scratches his head and says, I know. I'll give him everything there is to know, molecular structure and everything else of the peanut. That's all he can handle anyway. And that's why we have peanut brains, I guess. I don't know. George Washington Carver was one of the greatest scientists we've ever had. He unlocked, because God answered his prayer, the molecular structure, the benefits of peanut oil, even extended out to crop rotation, all this stuff, because he dared to ask God to know things that nobody else would. God knows a lot. In fact, he's so sure in what he knows that he says, who is this that's talking? It doesn't even know what they're saying. Counsel to people is a fearful thing. We need to be careful how we counsel. And not to say things flippantly, but as the body of Christ, to say things. We need to help each other. We need to hear what God's saying so that we can relay the message accurately. But we need to be careful what we say, because you with the Holy Spirit are the comfort that somebody needs. You with the Holy Spirit are an encouragement for somebody today or tomorrow, or somebody that you've encouraged in the past. A kid came to me last Monday and said, Mr. Adams, we need to pray for this friend. We open up every class with prayer. And this kid says, I have a friend that I knew from camp, and she's in North Carolina, and she tried to commit suicide. She's 14. And apparently it was such a mess that her brother walked in on her while she was doing it and called 911 immediately. And I said, well, you know what? You're a very key character here. What you say to her, and you need to text her, and you need to or call her and talk to her. And be careful how you say things. And I can't say anything. Yes, you can. You're the one. You know, kids today could be way further along than where they are spiritually, you know. But they're not getting taught well at home, and I'm not blasting any parents. My kids need to be farther along than where they are spiritually. But kids today don't think they can do anything. Oh, I'm just a kid. They're told that, you know, in a common educational setting. If I offend you as a teacher, I'm sorry. You're basically told to sit down and be quiet. I'm going to pour stuff into your brain. You know, open up the lid, pour it in. You're going to test on it in the next day or two. With little understanding spiritually with what's going on. But we can prepare our kids for life better if we teach them the things of the Lord. So then God says to Job, prepare yourself like a man. Job 38, verse 3. Now prepare yourself like a man. Job is already going, okay, what does that mean? I will question you, and you shall answer me, the Lord says. And then, you know these questions. It's a whole litany of things that are very scientific. This is our science book. This is better science than a modern biology book. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know, Job. No, sir, I don't. I didn't say talk. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb, when I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band? When I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors, when I said, this far you may come, but no further. And here your proud waves will stop. Have you commanded the morning since your days began? And caused the dawn to know its place? And then there's another place. Oh yeah, verse 18. Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. I'm skipping because I hope you're getting the idea that, okay, I'm limited in my understanding. That's a good thing because God knows. He understands it. And we can rest in that. So when I'm praying last night and today, went to the fireworks last night, but I had my eyes closed a lot because I'm like, God, speak to me. And I felt the Lord said, remind them of who I am, how big I am. Well, God, how big are you? And then the thought of, you know, Job came to my mind. So this sermon today, if it's a sermon, I don't like to preach. I like to just teach because that's why I am, a teacher, not a preacher. If you want to know how big God is, this is your text right here. Have you entered the treasury of snow, Job? Or have you seen the treasury of hail? No, God, I didn't say talk. I think sometimes the Lord says, it's time for you to learn. This is a season for you to sit at my feet and just listen. You know, it's easy to find, oh boy, I'm going to offend people. Maybe I shouldn't say it. It's easy to spend our lives in materials that are extra biblical. You mean I have to give up my Christian novels? No, just for a season. You mean I have to quit listening to all of John Piper's podcasts? No, maybe just for a season. And get into the Word and do a study of something. Get your concordance out. Get Strong's, you know, Strong's exhaustive concordance. What a document. And look up the Hebrew words, look up the Greek words, and find some pearls that God has dropped in there for you to find yourself instead of reading other people's books. Because you should be in your own heart, in your own faith, writing the books today fresh for you. Now, if I offended people because you're reading, you know, whatever you're reading, I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend you, but spend more time in this than anything else. Spend time memorizing the Word. Write it on the, what is it? The Old Testament, write it on the, what is it? Tablet of your heart. Yeah, tablet today doesn't mean that. It's electronic. So open up your tablet and get the verses out. I have memory verses, a quiz every Friday. You would not believe how much kids whine just to memorize a few words. And then they come back and they tell you, Mr. Adams, we memorized that verse? Oh my gosh, I was talking to somebody the other day, and guess what I thought of? So good, it's working. Works for you, right, John? One of my old students, amazing man of God right there. Remind him how big I am and who I am. That's too tall of an order for me to do, standing up here in a few minutes. It's incumbent upon you to get into the Word. It's incumbent upon you, as it says over here a minute ago, I was reading it. The Lord just kind of moves me around sometimes. Repent, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. So the times of refreshing may come in from the presence of the Lord, that he may send Jesus. The word rest was all over me today. You know, I believe that when God rested on the seventh day, he's not physical, so what kind of rest was it? It's rest that says, what? It's good. God says, he wasn't patting himself on the back because he was doing it for his own glory, but also for us, all his creation. And we're here because he spoke your existence into existence, your life, who you are, your personality. He spoke it into existence. For you have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works God has chosen for you beforehand. In other words, before heaven ever was, God was. And he thought of you. And he thought of me. And he desires that close intimacy with you. He desires, you know, Paul says, I think in Philippians now, oh, that I might know you and the power that flows out of your resurrection. The Greek word for, and I don't do Greek or anything, but I can look it up because it's free online. The word know there, oh, that I might know you, is a word that means intimacy. And it's a word that's used in the description of a man knowing his wife and wife knowing her husband. The intimacy, the deepest things. Oh, God, that I might know your most deep thoughts. It's the same prayer that George Washington Carver prayed. So, how much you desire to know God and to follow him and to understand him is up to your work. You're the farmer. You put your hands to the plow. You plow the field and you plant the seeds. When I got saved, I was in a church that I don't know if they even believed in God. It was a bumper sticker, kind of, you know. God bless you. God bless America. Which God would that be, I wonder, that you're talking about? And so I bought a Bible. I bought Strong's Concordance. Exhaustive. Never knew what that meant. Except it means all the words. I started looking up for myself and learning. So that was Acts chapter 3, where it talks about the time of refreshing. That's a time of rest for you. And not rest, but you can have a time of rest even your busy day. Mr. Adams, you just don't, not Mr. Adams, you're not Mr. Adams. Bill, you just don't know my day. There is no time of rest. I know that. I live there too. But it's not the rest of sitting down in your lazy boy and putting your feet up. It's the rest that says, Lord, it's a rough day, but I know you're with me. Rest in that faith. Get out of that boat like Peter did, even in the midst of the storm, even in the midst of your daily struggle, even in the midst of your storm. Because I hear it. You don't know what I'm going through, Mr. Rams. Okay. Let's pray about it. Let's stop right now. Let's do this. But you can do that right now. I don't know what you carried in here today, but it's eating at you. And if you leave out those doors and you're the same as you came in, then you need to get into the Word this afternoon and read those verses from Hebrews chapter 4 about the believer's rest, Acts chapter 3 about a time of refreshing, or this great one. Don't you love the book of Acts? Acts chapter 4, remember, the brothers were in trouble. They turned the world upside down, it says. And they're just, you know, if they were in here today, you would just not talk to them, because they're like, yeah, they're super spiritual, and all they want to do is talk about Jesus. And, you know, that makes you uncomfortable after a while. You know what I mean? It's Jesus this, Jesus that. They caused and stirred up so much ire with the people in charge of the temple and all that. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And I'm going to change the word. It says and. But I'm going to say, but they realized that they had been with Jesus. And that's the change. He's the change agent. But you're going to know him. You know, your faith comes by, say it. Faith comes by hearing. All right. So you have to be in the Word. So you need to be people of one book. You know, that was a phrase that came out of the 80s, I guess. We need to be people of one book, okay? We need to be singular-minded. That phrase also came out one time not too long ago. Singularly focused. Well, you Christians, you're just, you know. And then there's a whole litany of things they charge us with. Oh, you're just, you think you're more righteous than me. And but Jesus says, what? If your righteousness does not exceed the scribes and Pharisees, you see, you can be righteous. You can be the one that brings the little goad to somebody at work or your spouse or your 14-year-old boy. You can twist his arm a little bit. No, just. You see, when we become people of one book and are reminded of who God is, how big he is, that he's with us, never leave us nor forsake us, and we can actually, in the midst of our troubles every day, relax and rest in his presence, it's going to change your life. And we want that change. We need that change. How many verses did Paul talk about when he says, you know, in your former days, or kill the old man, you know, get rid of the old attitudes. At my age and my attitude stinks a lot of times. Nobody else is guilty that I can see your faces. Not me. If you're a man, you got pride issues. I can tell you that right now. I don't even know some of you. But if you're a man, you have issues with pride. Maybe competitiveness that is hindering a relationship. I know I'm preaching to the choir. Maybe this is just for me today. I need to be reminded how big my God is. One of my favorite things to do when we take kids to Haiti, after we've had the devotion, maybe it's dark. Take them out to the beach, and the beach in Las Sous, when you stand there and look up, it's north. So, what is in the sky? Yes, the North Star, but there's what? There's a constellation that has two stars that point to the North Star. That constellation is called the Big Dipper. But at night, you notice that it's upside down. It's pouring out. So I take the kids out there, and I say, what is that thing? It's a Big Dipper. What do you know about it? I don't know nothing. And I know I've told this story before, but it's so powerful because it reminds me of the heavens declare the glory of God, Psalm 19, and the firmament shows his handiforth. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. So God is pouring out knowledge and blessing all the time. But at night, we see the dipper upside down. It's pouring out. Well, if you go on YouTube and watch the night sky in motion, it all goes like this, doesn't it? And it circles around the North Star. It's so cool. I know, I've lost you. But that dipper being a cup, I need a cup. Is that full or is that empty? Is it empty? Suck it down real quick.
Here we go.
So at night, whoops, hello.
It's pouring out.
It's pouring out. I better not do it on the carpet, right? So the handle's coming down like that at night, and it's pouring out. If these two stars are pointing at the North Star, what's this doing night and day? Rotating. In the daytime, scooping up blessings. And because he wants you to know that he's pouring out blessings, he shows the emptying bucket cup dipper part at night. If it had been the other way around, we wouldn't have the same understanding of Psalm 19. At night, he wants to show us that the heavens are pouring out. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the universe reflects his handiwork. Day and night, they pour forth speech. Basically, my version says, there's nowhere you can go that his voice is not being spoken. And we're the children of God. We should know the voice of our God more than anybody else. We are called to live a life of faith and to minister to those around us. If you go to 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, you'll know and find that there are gifts that God has waiting for you. And if you've not experienced any of those, if you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, we don't talk about that in our church. Get over it. You need to speak it. You need to learn it. You need to get in the Word and find out what gift God has planned for you, but maybe you're not walking in it. He wants to pour that out on you. He's scooping it up. He wants to pour it out on you. The next day, he wants to pour more out. There's no end to this. It's getting old, Bill. I know, really? But have you learned it? My gosh. God gave me that. I've told this story. I was laying in the bottom of a canoe in the river one time, and it was summer night. I said, God, why do you have that thing up in the sky? It's a dipper everywhere I've been in the world, an aluminum dipper hanging on a well or a pump, you know? He says, because I'm pouring out my blessing, or I want to, those that receive it. I'm like, oh my gosh, really? And so like sometimes I ask the Lord such dumb things. You know, it's like I'm not learning very quickly. But God wants us to learn and to know his intimate secrets, you know. Proverbs 25:2 is one of my favorites. It says, it's the glory of God to conceal a thing. It's the glory of kings to find it. It's the glory of God to hide a thing. Whoa, that's not fair. He's God. Yeah, that's fair. He can be fair. He set all the rules. But it's the glory of kings, small k, that's us, to search out his heart, search out his blessings, desire them. Like the woman that demanded justice from the old judge, and he went to bed. Get out of here, woman. No, I want justice. Go home. The woman at the door of the unjust judge. It's a tremendous story. It's an allegory. Allegory? Oh, metaphor? I never did that good in those words in English. It's a metaphor, I guess. That, in fact, Jesus says, and I'm not even like that. I'm not even like that old judge. You ask me, I'll give it to you. I'll pour out the knowledge. I'm not even like him. What do you need? What do you want? I'm not talking about prosperity gospel, you know, word of faith ministries. Remember in the 80s? Oh my gosh, you didn't have faith, get out of the door. Leave. I'm talking about the presence, infilling of God's Spirit every day. Fresh. Fresh, like fruit. Everything is a natural justification for God. You don't eat a banana that's real green, or when it's brown, unless you put it in a milkshake or something, whatever. But God, you know, it's the bell curve. When it's ripe, that's God's blessing. Anywhere else, it's not ready or it's past. You've missed it. God wants to pour out his blessings on you and eat that ripe fruit every day. Everything is an image of God. Everything that's even in our lives and our loved ones around us are an example of the presence of God if we can just come to realize it. Even those 14-year-old boys that made me go gray and premature bald, there's a blessing in those kids. They're a handful, right, Miss Thompson? She teaches them too, the same kids. Oh my gosh, they were rough this year. I have them again next year, so will you. 9 weeks, anyway. But if we see them for who they are in God, then they become a blessing. You want to know how big God is in your life? Start reading the Word. Google it. How big is God? Oh my goodness, look at these verses. You don't even have to go to Bible programs. Whoever Bob Google is, he figured it out already. It's amazing. There are verses, they'll have a list of 20 things. You know, how big God is. Here's 20 verses for you. Memorize those. All right. I didn't mean this to be a judgment. I meant to be an encouragement. Because we all carry stuff every day. But the more we think about God and the less we think about those things that are hindering us, the better off we're going to be. Your car doesn't run without gas. Get gassed up. Fill your tanks today. Don't laugh at me, Tom. Yes, I understand. It's not about what you eat. So I'm here to say today, rest in God's presence today. Let that time of refreshing even come into your life today, even though you don't understand what I have today. It doesn't matter. The Lord knows. And he has a plan to bless you if you just receive it. So as I pray, I want you to, in your mind, think of that thing that's hassling you. It's terrorizing you, maybe. And let it go. Or pray God's Holy Spirit to move in like a flood into that thing. And he will. I mean, who else are you going to trust? The Lord is who we're supposed to trust. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We used to sing it 100 years ago, remember, when we were all Baptists or Methodists? We all left those churches. But the truths of some of these old hymns are fantastic and they're timeless. Yeah? So, Lord, you're amazing. I pray for my brothers and sisters here today, Lord, that they will have a time of refreshing today. And you're tender with us. But you're our Father, so sometimes you tell us to sit down and listen, like to Job. And in the end, you loved him so much, you gave him back 100-fold everything. So you're not just sitting on the throne trying to or waiting to judge us. You're trying and waiting to bless us and let us know every day that we are your children and you're not mad at us. Help us to find joy today in your presence. God, help us release those things that have been hampering, hindering, harassing, whatever word we want to use, us. And give them to you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Let us desire those greater gifts that you say in Corinthians. Most of all, love. Help us to truly walk by faith and not by sight today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I suppose you're dismissed. Bless somebody today. Relationally, financially, food-wise. Or just give somebody a smile or a hug. Right, Marshall? Amen.